Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're glad you're with us here today. We also have Bishop Bradley with us. Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis, and good morning to all of our listeners on this fine February day.
And we also have Vicki Cessna here with us, the Director of Communications down here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. So we're going to read the scripture readings that are from this Sunday, February 4th, 2018, that are read all over the world at Catholic churches everywhere. And of course, this is a outreach of the Catholic Church here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo here in southwestern Michigan. And we hope that you tune in weekly, and usually we have the bishop on here, if he's able, at least once a month. And if you've got any thoughts or concerns, you can always visit the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org, and then holyfamilyradio.net also for other Catholic information. So should we go right into the readings?
That would be a good thing to do.
Okay, awesome. So here is the February 4th, 2018, and our first reading is from the book of Job. This is Job 7, 1 through 4, and 6 through 7. Job spoke, saying, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of hirelings? He is a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been atold to me. If in bed I say, 'When shall I rise?' then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsorial psalm is Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praise to our God, for he is gracious. It is fitting to praise him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. The dispensed of Israel be gathered.
Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls each by name.
Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. To his wisdom there is no limit. The Lord sustains the lowly. The wicked he casts to the ground.
Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me. And woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense. But if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my recompense? That, when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. To the weak I became weak, to win over the weak. I have become all things to all, to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Christ took away our infirmities and bore our diseases. Alleluia. Alleluia. This reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings here today. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're visiting with Bishop Bradley. Bishop Bradley, welcome. Any comments about the scriptures or anything that's going on in the diocese?
Yeah, thanks, Deacon Louie, and it's good to be here with you again on this first Sunday of the month of February. Here we are, 1 month already passed in this new year, and February always is, continues in the winter time, but in my mind, it's kind of the beginning of moving forward towards the end of winter. I think we've already had Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And whether winter will continue or not, depending on the groundhog's prognostication, I guess, remains to be seen. But, sometimes in these days we can be, we can kind of feel the blues, perhaps, or see things a little bleakly. Mm-hmm. If the weather, depending on the weather, sometimes that doesn't help too much. But in many ways, neither do today's readings.
Yes.
As we listen to these readings today, they can be, depending on where we are in our lives, they're not, at least the first reading is certainly not a reading that's filled with much encouragement, I hope, as we listen to Job. Really feeling what a terrible situation he was painting in his own life as he reflected on life, as he looked at what was life like, and he used words like it's a drudgery, he feels like a slave, it's like being a hireling, and went on to talk about, fast days, but then long nights. And I'm sure that there are many of our listeners that can relate to that in, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, sleepless nights. It's not something that I honestly can say I relate to, because I've always been blessed with the ability to sleep. There's not a whole lot that will keep me awake. But I'm sure there are many people that are struggling because of suffering, because of illness, because of various worries, and there's nothing worse than not being able to sleep and get up, and as Job says, what time is it? The night drags on. I have to wait until it's dawn. So, there's a sense, of course, in their day, because there was no light. I mean, they had to really wait until the sun came up, until right. there would be a new day. Mm-hmm. So, he paints this picture of what's the old saying? You eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Job had a kind of a different sense of it. Life just really was filled with so much difficulty. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we understand, because Job had endured such tremendous suffering. He is the epitome of faith and trust in God. But even somebody like that, because of the tremendous suffering that he experienced, he was having one of those moments when he was reflecting on how life was. So it's something that I think we can relate to. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we hope is our own reality as we think about our own lives. We hope that when we look at our lives, when we can find lots of reasons to rejoice and to be happy and to find a sense of satisfaction and a purpose in our lives. But realizing probably all of us have those days,
yes,
whenever we're just seeing, we're not able to see the light. We're just able to experience the darkness. But I think that's why that psalm refrain is so beautiful, because right away we go right into the psalm that says, praise the Lord, because he's the one who heals us in our brokenness. It's when we are broken, when we are suffering, when we are having lots of sorrows, and not that perhaps we don't have reasons to be sorrowful. There are probably many times whenever we can experience life's sorrows, but it's not the end of the story. And that's what I think we always, as people of faith, as especially for those of us that have Jesus to keep looking to as the source of our hope and our joy, you know, it's not the end of the story. It's just a part of the story. And so we go into the, you know, the second reading as well, when we see, you know, St. Paul talking about, you know, his responsibility as one who is entrusted with preaching. And he says, you know, that can be a burden. And maybe there's times when you feel like, I don't feel like doing it, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know, but he says, but woe to me if I do not preach, because that's a responsibility. And, you know, that applies to all of us as well. How, you know, whether we're ordained for the purpose of preaching or not, all of us through our baptism are called always to give witness to Christ.
Amen.
So how do we do that? How do we preach in that sense? And woe to us if we don't fulfill those basic responsibilities. So those are some of the things that are in my mind for at least the first part of the today's Liturgy of the Word. The Gospel, I think, takes us in a different direction.
Yes.
But I think those readings that we hear in this first early days of February, still in the midst of winter and with all of the reasons that we might have to feel like life is sometimes a drudgery and sometimes a difficult, filled with difficulties, we can never lose hope. And that's what our, you know, coming to Mass, coming to hear God's Word each and every week will always remind us, you know, that's not the end. It's not the end of the story. We're moving through our life, and we try to continue to always place our faith and trust in the Lord.
Amen. And I think it's also a very good point too. This time of the year, people start feeling down, they start feeling low. But also to look at these stories, like with Job, like with, you know, St. Paul writing this thing with the Corinthians, of who does he, and even the catechism has this reading from the catechism saying that he who teaches must become all things to all men, women, children, teenagers. One of the most difficult things with preaching is you have to get up there, and here you have this cross-section of humanity out there in the pews, and you have to speak to them in a way that is going to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Holy Spirit, but I see with Job, just like last week, you know, all getting us prepared to go into Lent,
mm-hmm.
all preparing us, you know, for a week and a half from now, mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
Right around the corner.
That's right.
So, Vicki, do you have any thoughts on the scriptures at all?
Well, I think that everything that's been, that you both talked about, I mean, February, with its, can seem like everybody's ready for the spring, and a lot of people might, you know, the drudgery word jumps out at me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Job, but mm-hmm. I always enjoy Mark, especially, and all the readings are a lot from Mark, and you get to know Jesus in his ministry, and it's just right to the point, like is very, you know, this, all these readings leading up to even today, he's very active. This is him out there and preaching and teaching and the miracles, and I always find that those are some of my favorites. So.
Very nice, Bishop. Any
well,
thoughts?
That does kind of bring us right into the gospel as we, you know, have been talking about the other readings as well. But Mark, you know, to your point, Vicki, you know, when you just look at this reading, this is only 10 verses long, but my goodness, Jesus is extremely active, and it's only part of the day.
Right.
You know, Mark begins by saying after he left the synagogue, so he had already been at the synagogue.
He's busy.
Where he delivered his first inaugural homily, so to speak, his reflection, as we heard about last week. And so Jesus' ministry has now been publicly initiated. And so whatever amount of time he had already spent at the synagogue, which was probably probably a lot more than just an hour that we might spend at church, after that, then he comes to Peter's home along with four of the disciples, the only four that he had chosen up till this point, Peter and Andrew and James and John, and comes into Peter's house. And there, right away, instead of saying, okay, now I'll just relax, you know, he finds Peter's mother-in-law is ill and in need. Mm. And so, you know, he right away, what does he do? He doesn't even think about it. He grasps her by the hand and pulls her up, and the fever left her. So, you know, a miracle. You know, we don't know to what degree. Was she just feeling under the weather, or was she truly seriously ill? Whatever the situation was, Jesus was able to resolve it, and really without even being asked. He saw the need, and he right away did so, who took care of what the need was. And it's interesting, the little comment that Mark makes here. As soon as the mother-in-law was feeling better, what did she do? She didn't say, oh, let's sit down and rejoice. No, she waited on them.
Yes.
She began to do her part in expressing hospitality.
Right. That's so beautiful. And I also, this part where Jesus rises very early, you know, and goes off to this deserted place where he prays, this whole prayer part. And they talked about that in the catechism, that his words and works are a visible manifestation of his prayer in secret. I find that to be so unbelievable.
Yeah, why don't you say that again? That's,
you know, so it is his words, and this is from the Catechism of 2602 on prayer. It's very near the end of the Catechism. And prayer and praying alone, his words and his works are a visible manifestation of his prayer in secret. Jesus often draws apart in solitude to pray, preferably at night or early in the morning. But he's praying for us, you know, and it's just so, you know, kind of shocking in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always working, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always working for us, always in that state of grace.
But see, isn't it one of the things that I think Jesus teaches us by example more than by words? Because he doesn't say to anybody, now watch what I do here.
Right.
I'm gonna go off now and pray. But clearly, at various points in the gospel, we find out that the disciples have been watching that, observing that, and at one point they do come to him and say, Lord, would you teach us to pray?
Right.
And so clearly what he's doing is being observed. But the more important point is that how he spends time in prayer with his Father is what energizes him to be able to do the words and the work. So, you know, what does that say to us? Sometimes we just want to go 1,000 miles a minute and, you know, just be busy, busy, busy from morning till night. But if we're not taking time at any point along the way to reflect upon what it is that we're doing, why are we doing what we're doing, or, and more importantly, to spend time in prayer, asking God for the grace, asking for the Holy Spirit's guidance, asking for the love of Jesus to fill our hearts so that we can be doing what we're doing for the right reasons.
Right.
Going back to your point, the words and the works of Jesus reflect the prayer that he has spent time in. So that's what, you know, I think is a really important lesson for all of us today.
Right. Any thoughts, Vicki?
Well, yeah, that's, I love that. And I love that imagery and that kind of, you know, sets up how busy he is, but then he takes the time to pray, and that's his energy. I also like when Mark tells us he drove out the demons and not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Yeah. And at first you read that and go, oh, wait, the people know him now because he did a miracle? And then you go, no, the demons knew him. So the demons, you know, they knew who Jesus was, but it still took a really long time to get everybody else on board. So that's just kind of interesting. I mean, why would they be possessing people if they didn't have some kind of good to counter, right?
Absolutely.
Going back to that point as well, after Jesus, you know, healed Peter's mother-in-law and perhaps had a meal, they couldn't do much more than that because it was the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they were restricted in what they could do. And so that's why, you know, I think it's important to hear what Mark is saying. Well, when it was evening, after sunset, mm-hmm. when the rules of the Sabbath were now completed, then that's when all the people said, okay, we know where Jesus is, and we know that he's worked a miracle. We heard him in the synagogue. His reputation is starting to get around. Let's bring everybody to him. And so Mark tells us that point. When it was evening after sunset, they brought him all who were ill or possessed by demons. And then he says the whole town was gathered at the door. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Capernaum, you know, how big of a town was it? I don't know. But everybody was there, you know, because they knew this was someone special. But the reason why Jesus says, doesn't allow the demons to say who he was, is so that the people wouldn't, you know, if the demons had proclaimed, you know what, we know who you are, and we hear that in various other parts of the Gospels, where the demons do say, I know who you are, you're the Son of the God. Jesus didn't let them do that yet. I don't think he really ever, in the Gospel of Mark, we have what we constantly call the messianic secret, where Jesus is always saying to people, don't tell anybody. The reason for that is not because he didn't want the word to get around so much as he wanted the right word to get around. And if people say, well, we have this miracle worker, they wouldn't really understand. If they were saying, Jesus is the Messiah and he's working miracles, well, that's not the whole picture.
Amen.
That's not why the Messiah came.
Right.
Why did Jesus say he came? We heard it at the end of the Gospel. That I may go, let's go to all the nearby villages that I may preach there also. That is the purpose for which I've come. Jesus came to save the world. That's his purpose, is to bring salvation. It's not just to work miracles. It's to help people to understand what it would take to reconcile the world. And what would it take? It would take the Messiah, the Son of God, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. Now, if people had the wrong understanding of the Messiah, he's just a miracle worker, they've missed the point. They haven't gotten the full picture. Jesus wanted to, had to, have people come to that understanding on their own, or to be able to begin to observe and to deduce. And as we know, even the apostles didn't come to that understanding until after Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Until after Easter Sunday,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
You know, because Good Friday, they thought it was all over.
Right.
But on Easter Sunday, when he rose, was raised from the dead, then it began to make some sense. Mm-hmm. That's what the Messiah means. That's what it is. So Jesus didn't want people to go off with just a partial understanding, or in fact a wrong understanding, of who he is being the Messiah.
Amen.
Because they didn't have a chance yet to fully understand. And that's why he had to continue to preach to all the towns. He couldn't stay there. They wanted him to stay there because he had done so much for them. But he said, no, I need to go to all the villages to continue to preach this good news.
Amen. And I also think in a special way, too, from Paul, you know, as Christians, we're called to, and a lot of people will say that, you know, well, I can't be all things to all people. Well, if you're properly proclaiming the word of God, acting as a Christian, you can do that. And Christ offers that to us, not just in these miracles, but in all these other things, those things of faith, everlasting life, a happy life, a good life, a good night's sleep. You know, a lot of these things are all interconnected in how we live and how we live every day. So we have Ash Wednesday coming up here in 10 days. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to talk about that? We got about 3 minutes left, Bishop, to
Super Bowl, too.
Yes, it is.
So I'm sure that everybody's getting all their preparations made for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. In just a few days after all the excitement of this midwinter, what do we call this, the midwinter holiday or something, that it's even not an unofficial holiday.
Right.
A lot of people may not be going to work tomorrow or for whatever reason.
Okay.
having an extended weekend.
Right.
But but yes, in just 10 days, it'll be Ash Wednesday. Interestingly enough, for the first time, and I think you were the one to point this out, Vicki, it hasn't happened for 70 years.
Yeah,
or
actually
so,
45.
Since Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day came on the same day.
Wow.
So Ash Wednesday is a day of fast and abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day is a day of eating and chocolate candies and flowers and parties. So there's a bit of a conflict. So, you know, just kind of a word to everyone in advance to perhaps consider having your Valentine celebration on February 13th or the 15th or somewhere other than Ash Wednesday. Or, you know, if hopefully you and your beloved enjoy fish.
And it's all
good fish sandwich together.
And it's also a type of thing to look at our hearts, right? So we have to look at our hearts, both of us.
Well, true. That's a very good connection, yes.
You know?
But that's really what Ash Wednesday calls us to do, right?
Amen.
It enters us into the season of Lent.
Amen.
To begin this time of reflection and looking into our hearts. What is our relationship with the Lord? What is our relationship with one another? And it gives us that time, as Jesus really was pointing out in his own life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just constantly run around without thinking about who we are, where are we going. Lent reminds us we're mortal human beings, we're sinful human beings, and we need to try to change our ways so that they're more in conformity with God's. And so that's what we hope and pray, you know, we'll spend the time as we get ready now for Lent. It's an opportunity. It's not something to be, oh my gosh, it's going to be Lent, it's going to be terrible. And so we pray that God will give us all the grace to help us to do that. And we wish all of our listeners well on this day, and we ask the Lord's blessings upon us all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley.
You're very welcome.